Welcome to Building Fortunes Radio. Make sure you check us out at buildingfortunesradio.com. Along with our marketing partners, we're here to help our PM Marketing Network Lead customers build their businesses and make the world a better place. At Building Fortunes, we know how much your business means to you and the people important to you. So spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world. Now on to our show with your host, Peter Mingles.
Hello, everyone. Peter Mingles here. You are listening to us on Building Fortunes Radio. It's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. It's Tuesday at noon, and every Tuesday at noon, we either do a live or a replay of one of our favorite guests. His name is Russ Johnson. Russ Johnson, for many people may know his name, is a legend in the home-based business arena. But over the last couple of years, he's really started to explore and expand his passion for letting people know about UFOs and things related. So he called me up, introduced himself. I already knew who he was because his reputation had preceded himself by decades. And I said, you know, Russ, sure, what do we want to do? He says, I want to promote this. And he's got a great website called lightsinthenight.org. And I said, well, let's do some radio shows. I know a large part of our audience would be very interested in this stuff that you're talking about relative to UFOs and UAPs or whatever else they want to call it, extraterrestrials and little green men and whatever else it might be. And I'm interested, too, because I've always wanted to learn more, and I know that having you on the radio show would help our Building Fortunes radio listening audience find and explore lots of different and cool people that do different things. And today is going to be a great example of exactly what I mentioned. So I'm going to kind of step out of the way as fast as I can, but we call this the UFO Radio Show with Russ Johnson. It's on every Tuesday. You can go to buildingfortunesradio.com/UFO and also to his website. He's got lots of our radio shows there as well. So I'm going to say thanks, Russ Johnson, for being here on your own radio show.
No, thank you. I appreciate the time. So listen, this is Colonel Woodard. He was commander of Area 51, that special place in the universe on our planet, you know, the top secret Area 51, and then they have Broom's Lake and S4, sorry about that. So he was there, and I wanted you to ask him questions about whatever you think you need to know about that secret facility. And, Peter, so here he is. This is Colonel Woodard. Colonel, thank you very much for being with us. We got Peter Mingles. Peter, any questions you want to know about Hollow Earth, Area 51, any of that? He has all the information that you possibly could.
First of all, I want to say thanks for having him on, as a guest on a radio show. And for those people that might not be familiar with your background, could you share with us a little bit about your background?
Okay. About my background. Well, it's kind of, I'm not native to the surface of this planet. I'm from Hollow Earth. Some people have heard that term before, but some people have not. That's because your government is trying to keep it all covered up, top secret. But your planet is not a solid sphere as you were taught in school. It is a hollow sphere. It has a central sun, which shines out through polar openings off of ice crystals called crystalline, reflects back to the Earth as a halo of light. You call it the Northern Lights or the Southern Lights. And it's a reflection from the central sun outward, reflecting back to the Earth as a halo of light. That's your Northern Lights. It is not magnetic. It is not any type of electrical field. It is a reflection coming from the inside of your planet. And
so we were told that the Earth has a molten metal, iron, if you will, core, and that's what generates the magnetism that we see.
And that's a lie. Your planet, as all planets, are hollow, and they have a central sun located in the center of their planets. When you see pictures of Mars and you see pictures of Saturn and other planets, the northern hemisphere, the more northern reaches of those planets, they have openings at their northern extremities and southern extremities. And the center of gravity is located 400 miles into the Earth's crust. Below the Earth's crust is a world that you're not aware of. It is a world that is peopled by the Lemurians and the Aryanians. The Aryanians were there originally, and the Lemurians are the guests of the Aryanians. They became their hosts after the submersion of the continent of Lemuria. Now, understand that the Lemurian continent is what you term the Pacific Ocean. The Pacific Ocean was once a great continent called Mu, or Lemuria. And during the war between the Atlanteans and the Lemurians, causing the deluge, covering up of the continent with ocean waters, the Lemurians took up refuge in the city of Telos, located beneath Mount Shasta in California, Northern California. Telos is the city that the Lemurians are residing in right now, a mile to 2 miles beneath the surface of the mountain of Mount Shasta.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question. Colonel, let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
Do they come above? They come on the ground and mix with us?
They used to come up frequently, but they decided to go back underground and stay there to be protected from the surface people and rogue extraterrestrials.
Okay.
And to be better evolve underground. And
okay, I just want to follow up on something else.
Go ahead.
We know that in Antarctica, the Germans are there underground and been there since the 30s. And they've maintained base there, and they, after the World War II, or right during the World War II, the hundreds of thousands of them went to there and took equipment there, and all the spaceships that they got from the Dracos in the 30s and the 40s, they have spaceships. Is that right? Is that a good picture?
The Nazis have a base known as New Berlin, located halfway around the opening of the South Polar opening that goes into Hollow Earth, but they're not actually in Hollow Earth. They're in the around the curvature of the opening that
like one of the honeycombs
South
over there.
Polar opening. What's that?
So like one of the honeycombs of the down there. But let me ask you this. Didn't the United States send Adam Byrd in 1947 with Operation High Jump to get him out of there? Is that a true story? And they had 4,000 people, dozens and dozens of ships.
Admiral Richard Evelyn Byrd?
Yes.
Richard E. Byrd. He was in charge of Operation High Jump and in Antarctica. And he was sent down there specifically to to weed out the Nazis that were hidden down there. And, of course, they ran into some craft that were not able to fly from pole to pole in a matter of minutes. But, of course, they had a defeat at the hands of these craft. So the Operation High Jump was short and concise shortly before the end of the January of 1947. He was sent back to Washington, and then he went on another flight, sending it to up to the North Polar region, where he entered into the North Polar opening.
Okay. The other piece I wanted, since we found the 1947,
yes.
Why did the United States implement Operation Paperclip when they brought all the Germans from the war here in 1947? What was that about?
Well, there was a bunch of scientists that were Nazi scientists that had been given a reprieve from the United States government, and they were brought over because of their expertise in the arts of rocketry and stuff, things of that matter and that nature, and so they were given a pardon by the government.
And Wannevar Brown, he was head of that whole process, right? When they created NASA.
He was one of them. Absolutely.
Right. And why did they choose... Go ahead.
Now, besides the Nazi scientists, there were other scientists that were also present, and they were ambassadors from Hollow Earth. So that was another portion of the secrecy that was not brought to the surface. That was kept under wraps as well. Now, understand that the let's see.
Why did they choose you to be head of Area 51? That's number one.
I graduated high school at age 12.
Oh.
And after my graduation from high school at age 12, I went into the military at age 15, after my adopted father signed for me, and I was assigned to the Pentagon for a short time. And after that, I was sent to Area 51 and became the base commander there for 11 and a half years.
Boy. That's
a pretty heavy-duty commandment, if you will. I don't know the responsibilities behind that at that time. But for those people that might have ever heard of Area 51, that means you were, like, really there. I mean, boots on the ground, charge of different things, probably know a lot, where we could ask a lot of questions.
Yes, and I don't mind telling you about Area 51 because you have the right to know about that. Of course, even though you have the right to know about that, and the government would say you don't have the right to know about that. But shortly after I got out of the service, I had a visitation from three government agents that came to my home in Mount Shasta, and they knocked on the door, and I answered the door, and as they asked if I could, they could come in. I said, of course. And they come in and sit down. And they started talking to me about my involvement with Area 51, and that I should not talk about it. And I was ordered not to talk about it. And I flat out told them, I'm not in the military anymore, and I'm going to continue talking about it because people have the right to know about it. At that point, I was told by them that if I did not stop talking about it, that they were prepared to end my life. And I said, take your best shot. The female that was there with them pulled her revolver, pointed it right at my face, and pulled the trigger, and nothing happened.
Wow.
At that point, the others also did the same thing, but there was no ejection from their weapons.
Well,
and they said, why? I said, why aren't you? Why can't we kill you? And I said, because I'm protected.
Okay.
And I said, well, how's that? I said, how's that? And I said, come out on the front porch and I'll show you. We went out on the front porch. I told them to look up. They looked up and there was a lenticular cloud above the residence area, the apartment complex. As they looked up, the lenticular cloud dissipated, and there was a ship sitting there.
I see.
That's why I'm not worried about you. Have a nice day.
Bob, so in retrograde, we will take, okay, I think it's a break time. We're taking a small break here, but when we come back,
okay.
I want you to tell the audience what's in Area 51. What did you discover? What were you in charge of? You know, you had S4 Groom's Lake there also, but we'll take a break, Peter, and we come right back to the radio station.
Yeah, we'll come right back.
Thanks.
Yeah, the UFO radio show with Russ Johnson. We'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to Building Fortunes Radio. If you sell a product or service, then you should check out PMMarketingsNetworkLead.com. Just visit www.networklead.com. For over 18 years, PM Marketing has helped distributors build their home-based businesses through lead generation, website development, automated email delivery systems, and sales training. If you're looking for a way to increase your skills and increase the number of people that see your product or opportunity, networklead.com can help. To learn more, visit www.networklead.com. Ask about their lead management system, capture pages, personalized websites, MLM training, Humongous blogs, the Humongous Classified Ad Network, Building Fortunes Radio, or their webinar schedule. Networklead.com can be your one-stop shop for everything you need. And now, back to our show.
Peter Mingles here with Russ Johnson, and we are talking with a gentleman who commanded Area 51. And Russ, I know you said his name a couple of times, but for those people that want to know him, I'm going to ask you to repeat his name again in just a second.
Colonel.
But we're talking about... Yep, Colonel.
Yeah, go ahead. Colonel Woodard.
And,
right.
You know,
his
I look
he,
at this...
He has his... He has a website and all that. Colonel, give me how they can look at all the information about you and your website and all that other stuff.
www.zoraofhollowearth.com.
Okay, go ahead, Peter.
Z-O-R-R-A of O-F hollow, H-O-L-L-O-W, earth, E-A-R-T-H, .com. That is our website.
Peter, go ahead. Your question. I'm sorry.
So, you know, I'm gonna say, as an outsider looking in to hear your story, say for instance, I was busy running my own life and doing my own thing and worried about my own problems, and all of a sudden I hear you, and you're throwing out a whole bunch of things that are so unlike my taught belief system. You know, you said something about Hollow Earth. Then we're talking about space aliens. And I know a little bit about the story behind Area 51. An aircraft carrier, quote-unquote, crashed. Basically, it had some cool technology that nobody's allowed to see. you're in and maybe even some beings in there as well. You're in charge of this whole thing. You tell us about when you were done, the government not wanting you to speak about it. And we all know that because even Anthony Fauci was somebody who basically told his own version of the truth to filter it. Some people might say he lied. Let's say he's filtering or protecting people from themselves because maybe the masses are stupid and they couldn't manage the truth. Your philosophy is, wait a minute, I witnessed this and I want to be able to talk about this. And then all of a sudden you get visited by some people that tried to kill you and it didn't happen. And I'd say, you know, when I woke up this morning, I didn't have time to research all of this stuff. And it's easier just for me to say, there's no way this anything can like this can have possibly happened. But for those people that want to listen and learn more, there's a whole bunch of stuff and a whole bunch of questions that someone would have. So I'm glad you gave us your website because I'm sure that begins a lot of the exploration into this topic. Now, why should we, as an outsider, be interested and or care, or should we live in complete ignorance and just live our lives, or should we really know about this stuff?
You should know about it because it's true. Area 51 was put together back in the late 50s, and the first 16 levels of Area 51 were man-made. In other words, there were tunnels that were bored out and things of this nature. But down below that, from 16 to 27, those tunnels were already there. And the government just facilitated them, the use of them. But those tunnels were already in place. When they bored down into them and discovered that these tunnels were already there, they just utilized them, except that those tunnels were also underground shuttles, stations, transportation. And these underground shuttles go for thousands of miles in different directions and underground. Now,
so when you speak about, hold on one second if you will, Colonel. When you speak about these tunnels, we're not talking about something that, you know, I might be able to stand up in and touch with my hands, like just one big circle, like a pipe. You're talking about
tunnels, the equivalent of having two 18-wheelers able to drive them through side by side.
Wow. So these are big, like if you've ever been in New York and you went under the Holland Tunnel or you went under some of the other tunnels under the rivers, are they like bigger than that, like that kind and sometimes bigger?
Yes, absolutely.
Wow.
And the shuttles that occupy these tunnels are sort of like, they're kind of like bullet-shaped almost, you know, like a big giant bullet. And of course, they run on the in those tunnels, and they're not on any rails of any kind. They're hovering above the bottom of the tunnels, and they run off electromagnetism. And the grid lines or way lines of the Earth. Now. And these craft, like I said, they run off of electromagnetism. They don't run off of any fossil fuels or anything like that. And they're very rapid. They can travel from California to underground New York in less than 2 or 3 minutes. So they're very fast.
So you're saying that these are, like, there's a lot of them, and they're not just short little, you know, a couple of football fields long. You're talking about there's really an extensive network of these things, these tunnels, that are under the earth that are being used by men, and also these, I don't know what to call them, the non-human
Agartans.
Forms. Agartans. Right. So, and I know why, you know, thinking that the earth is, a couple billion years old, and we know there's been asteroids and comets or whatever that have hit the earth and kind of destroyed it every tens of thousands of years. So it's pretty simple to see why some people might say, hey, we got to get underground. If we want to survive, we have to be underground. And especially with nuclear challenges above ground, it might not be safe. So I could see the reason why people would start to develop underground cities, underground travel, all that sort of stuff. But for a lot of us, this is the first time we're hearing this. Is there any, in addition to your website, how would people find out about this network of tunnels and these other beings, if you will?
Well, there's all kinds of sources they can go to check this out. There's an author by the name of Bruce Walton, and he compiled several books about the secrets of Mount Shasta, Guide to the Inner Earth. And these books are other books out called Journey to the Earth's Interior by Marshall B. Gardner, The Hollow Earth by Raymond Bernard. And all these books, you can get them at the library, so if you wanted to read them. Or you can go to healthresearchbooks.com, and that's another avenue of getting these books that I'm speaking of. You can order books by Journey to the Earth's Interior by Marshall B. Gardner from the Amazon books. You can purchase them on Amazon. And so there's several different areas, locations you can get these books.
Perfect.
And all these books
and
talk about
go ahead, I'm sorry.
The reality of the earth. Understand, your earth is a hollow sphere. It is not a solid sphere. You have 800 miles of the earth's crust. And even your deepest boreholes, which one, the biggest one is out in Russia, and it hasn't gone down as far, even nowhere near 800 miles. Below the 800 miles, you would think there would be mantle, but there's not. It is a actual population of beings that are living on the inside crust of your planet. The center of gravity is located 400 miles into the Earth's crust. Within that crust, you have areas or pockets of lava under pressure. And these pockets of lava is where you find volcanoes.
All right. I think we're coming to the end of the 30 minutes. Again, Colonel, give out your website once again. And the question is, why did they not want you to tell us what's in Area 51? Why is that such a big secret? Take those two questions and we'll close it out for the day.
Well, because they don't think that at the time they didn't think that the public needed to know secrets that are hidden at Area 51. So understand another thing before we part. I want to put everyone's mind to rest that there will never, ever be a nuclear war. It cannot be allowed. The reason for that is because if it was allowed to happen, then over time due to the fallout, would find its way into Hollow Earth and destroy the inner world. So that cannot be permitted. So actually, there's not going to be a nuclear war because the Hollow Earthians have taken away the abilities of the Russians, the Chinese, and the Americans to accomplish that feat. Their ability to fire weapons has been taken from them.
Okay.
Well, that's good to know, first of all.
Absolutely.
And for those people that are wondering, if you do go to Zora's website, it's Hollow, Zora, Z-O-R-R-A of HollowEarth.com. And he's got some videos there. He's got some resources there as well. So this is something you can follow up on as well. I know this is only a 30-minute show, and we're a little bit over, but that's totally okay. And I'd love to be able to have you back, because we certainly have a lot more questions, and I will too, based on doing a little bit more research. So I really appreciate you being here, and I love this topic.
Before we part,
take as much time as you want.
One more thing
please
to say. The a lot of people have heard the term med beds. The med beds, they have a med bed at Area 51, and I witnessed it at work while I was there. They brought in two people. One was an elderly lady, and the other one was a soldier who had lost his legs during the war.
Why don't we do this? Why don't we come back next week and talk about the med bed? In the meantime, one of the proponents and knowledgeable entities who can talk about the med bed would, I say, Google Sky Prince and see what she has to say. SKYEPRINCE. Google that. And she talks for hours and hours about what's involved in the med bed, and we can revisit this whole subject next week. But in the meantime, Peter, you can close it out. We'll be over time.
So, Zora, hopefully you'll be able to check your schedule, come back next week. A lot of people would be interested in hearing about that med bed and the other topics that you have. So I want to say thank you so much for your time, and certainly sharing this knowledge and opening up a lot of information for people that normally wouldn't know about this stuff. So, Russ, I want to say thank you to you as well. And we're here on the UFO radio show on Building Fortunes Radio. So thanks, everybody, for listening in, and we're going to catch you next week. And Zora, if your schedule is open towards it, thanks for being here in advance, and we'll see everybody next week. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Building Fortunes Radio on buildingfortunesradio.com. Thanks for listening. Be sure to check us out every Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time for the designated Building Fortunes Radio segment with Peter Mingle. Be sure to check out the buildingfortunesradio.com website for our featured segments. It's been our privilege to have you listen in. At Building Fortunes Radio, we wish you the success you deserve and are willing to work for. So spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world.